We are joined now by Mayor Erica Zweifel and City Administrator Ben Marty. Good morning, you guys. How you doing?
Good morning.
How are you? Great.
Thank you for being here. As always, we appreciate it. There was a City Council meeting last night and a City Council work session. You guys doubled up on things last night.
I would say we tripled up, quadrupled up. There was a lot going on. Yeah. Kicked off the evening with an opening of a new exhibit at City Hall.
Oh.
Around the history of the building.
Oh, really?
And its history from a school, one school building to another school building to what it is now, City Hall. And so Sean Allen was there from the Northfield History Center. The SCOPE students at the school did most of the research. I think Ben knows. Ben can speak more to that, but okay. The SCOPE students were involved. City staff was involved in finding just the right places to put everything. And then Rob Hardy, one of our founding poet laureate,
yeah,
was there reading poems that one of the people featured in the exhibit had written during their time here in Northfield.
That's really cool. That's really cool. And this, how long the exhibit's going to run?
Permanently.
Oh, really?
It's a permanent exhibit. So as you come in the Washington Street entrance, that's where a lot of the historical display information, mm-hmm, that's where you'll see some of the photos of the schools that were there and Helen Field Watson, who was one of the interesting historical figures on the site. That was recognized. You'll also see some ties to, we're going to be talking a little bit about strategic plan, but she won a contest also as part of her work with the, I think it was with a newspaper that was looking a future, the future 100 years of the city of Northfield related to kind of a key milestone for the community. She won the award. There's a cup that's actually featured in a new display case that we had, that, and then the kind of her writings incorporated into that entryway. And the Cannon River is a theme blending into the history of it too. So
interesting.
She was, can't remember, she's had some scientific background. I think she was a biology teacher and
okay,
things. So mm-hmm, she did a lot of sketch work too with that had nature, and her poems incorporate a lot of nature. So
cool.
Be a good one for you to do a deeper dive.
Yeah, we need to get Sean on to talk about that for
absolutely
sure.
Absolutely.
And you also had some celebratory things going on,
right,
as well.
Right. Staying on the theme of Cannon River youth involvement. Mm-hmm. We had our partners, Clean River Partner does a lot of our city water education for us, and they partner with us on this storm water pollution prevention poster contest. And so
you got through the
whole
thing.
All of all the words. And so there are winners from second through fifth grade, and the winners come to City Hall and get celebrated, and then they won some passes to the swimming pool. And so
all right,
that was really fun. Their families were there. So the city, the council chambers filled up with the families and the youth, and then after their celebration and award recognition, they filed out, and then all the high schoolers who are on boards filed in. So then we celebrated all the youth on boards, not just city youth, city boards, but all of our nonprofits, their mm-hmm, youth that sit on the Clean River Partners board, to mention them again. And so then they all came in and we celebrated them, and those who are graduating or leaving their board got a certificate of recognition and a big applause and thank you from everyone that was there, and thanking them for their leadership in the community. And mm-hmm, as you know, they really stepped it up this year with that. They brought forward the requested change to our council rules of business,
mm-hmm,
and that we no longer ask people to state their address when they're at the open mic. So, and there are a number of examples of things that the youth are driving and leading in this community. So we got to celebrate that.
All right, great.
That's fantastic. Yeah, I've been at those ceremonies of the past, and it's such a cool program, the Youth on Boards program to begin with. And, I'll brag. We have really, much like Lake Wobegon, all the children in Northfield are above average.
Absolutely.
And we have impressive kids in this town, and it's fun to watch, to see what they're doing on these things. It's a cool program. We also had a presentation from the Northfield Hospital and Clinics folks. Any major developments there?
would just say, just a reminder again, how fortunate we are to have quality health care here, right in the city of Northfield, with the city hospital providing a lot of important services to our community. And they had a clean bill of health as it relates to their financial health as well, that they presented the clean bill of the audit. They've gone through some very challenging times, you know, certainly during COVID, and then coming out of that, there's been financial challenges with the payer mix, with, you know, federal funding on different reimbursements that are available. But they did end up in the black this last year after some sale of property and some investment earnings, so they were there. But they're not out of the woods, and still challenges ahead. And I think the Xander Abbott, the new president and CEO, spoke briefly, kind of was in the council chambers for the first time. And they're really obviously very focused on serving the community's health needs, and then also really leaning into those areas where they have some profit centers. And so they've made some difficult decisions over time, and I think they're looking optimistic into the future as they continue to serve Northfield. So probably good to welcome in Xander and get him in here to talk a little bit more detail about that. Eric Guth was also there, their CFO, really a strong young talent as well out at the hospital. So
there are ongoing efforts to get Mr. Abbott in here. Absolutely.
Yeah.
Okay. Let's get to the regular meeting. We have a comprehensive plan. Yay. It's been passed.
It has been passed, and on the consent agenda was the strategic plan.
Oh, was it really?
I know.
I never look at the strategic plan, so okay.
Or the consent agenda.
Or the consent agenda. I never, let's be honest, I never look at both. So the strategic plan was on the consent agenda then.
It was because we had discussion on it at our previous work session. The council gave direction to staff and to the consultant, and there were a few minor tweaks, and then it came back to us.
All right. So
adoption.
The strategic plan, though, has been. I'm not going to say things have shifted from the previous strategic plan, but there are some differences between this one and the previous one. Can you address those at all?
Well, sure. One thing is, instead of six major priority initiatives, there are now four.
Right.
So trying to be a little more focused.
Yep.
Concern with the previous one that we hear from a lot of people is that it was overly ambitious.
Yeah.
You know, again, we're Northfield. Maybe it's just not the youth who are above average, but everyone wants, you know, more. And so we were really holding that, as we were thinking about this strategic plan and trying to be really focused about this. We're just talking about the next 3 to 4 years. What do we really want to focus on for that window?
All right. Cool.
Because I feel like it kind of gets into that territory of, if everything's a priority, then nothing's a priority.
Exactly.
Yeah. Yeah.
Exactly.
Mm-hmm. So that's great that you're really focusing in on things.
Right. Yeah.
And then with the comp plan, was there much discussion about the comprehensive plan before you guys voted on it? I know that there were, you know, you had a little dissent at the last meeting. Did anyone have anything to say about the comprehensive plan?
I don't think anyone had anything new to say add. There was a little discussion about to see if anyone wanted to add anything new, or anyone was kind of thinking about changing their vote. But we landed where it looked like we were going to land.
Yeah. Five to two. Cool. With the comprehensive plan, I mean, you know, nothing feels different today than we had it yesterday. I mean, it's a long-term thing. Is there anything that happens immediately due to the comprehensive plan, or do we ease into this?
Immediately, Sean Simonson already had it in his presentation. He was just, boom. I assume he had like an alternate slide deck, had we not passed it. No, I don't know. I have to ask him. But it was immediately right there. People were referencing, counselors were referencing it already in our discussions.
Really?
I mean, oh yeah.
That's great.
It just, boom.
So we just hit the ground running with a comprehensive plan, is what you're saying. That's good.
We did. We've been waiting for this, and we're ready to use it.
All right. So then you adjourned the regular meeting, and reconvene for a work session. That was mostly focused on, was it mostly, am I right? It was mostly focused on road construction projects, or am I wrong about this? We've got Milltown State Trail.
Yeah, so what the first one we kicked off with was the looking at some major improvements for next year. Jefferson Parkway, we continue to do mill and overlay there. And then related to that, there's a lot of, that's a major corridor road, of course, and takes a lot of vehicle traffic with the residential area heading into different corridors outside of the city. And following up on neighborhood meetings on the kind of the scoping of the project, a lot of interest related to creating safe crossings through that corridor. Mm-hmm. I think the western section that's been completed, I think, has been pretty well received related to some of the narrowing of the streets for safer crossing, greater awareness related to the crosswalks, and also where there might be bike routes in on some of these crossings on this new leg, where also some of the discussion with the city council. With that as well, there'll be some utility improvements tied to a project to continue to extend some sewer and water out to the new water plant location. Mm-hmm. With that, also includes another leg of the Milltown State Trail from Jefferson Parkway through Spring Creek Park extension, and so that's another key leg as we look to complete the Milltown Trail through Northfield coming up in the near future. So good discussion there. There was also on Prairie Street some discussion around some improvements related to bike safety. There was some discussion and debate about protected bike lanes and whether we should have the protected curb mm-hmm. added or leave the paint and just, you know, integrate that. Regardless, there will be some enhancements to safe crossings in through that area that would create also better navigability related to our bike lanes. Some of the challenges when we do these projects too is the project has to end somewhere, and then sometimes you get these clunkiness of bike lanes may be ending in places awkwardly, and you try and tie it in the best you can, but sometimes later you got to pick up the pieces and then mm-hmm. make them better, integrate later. So I think there's going to be a lot more discussion around some of those intersections specifically. Mm-hmm. I think we scratched the surface last night. This is the pre-feasibility report phase. So we'll go back to the neighborhood one more time, or the public, and then back to the city council to accept that report. So,
all right, I'm going to ask you both the question. I know what your answer is going to be, but I'm going to ask it anyway. Are there going to be any more protected bike lanes in the future in Northfield, or at least in the next 5 years? How's that?
I don't think we can answer that question right now, because we just had our initial discussion. And so everyone stated where they were, and there were some people who were opposed to the protected lanes, some people who are very much in favor of them. And then there were maybe the majority, if you set those aside, were, I would say, bike lane curious about how does this, so that there's frustrations with them on Maple and Roosevelt, mm-hmm. and what does it mean to put them here? Mm-hmm. Why does this specific section need to be protected? What are we trying to solve with them in this place? How much do they cost? How much do they add to the project? How much does it cost? How much safety does it provide? A lot of questions were asked, and we still have one more open house for people to come and comment. It's on June 11th at City Hall upstairs in the second floor training room from 5:30 to 7.
Okay.
So we're still accepting feedback about this project from the public.
All right. Interesting.
Yeah, neighbors within 300 feet of the project area will be getting a mailing, I think, next week. But it is open to the general public, too, because, of course, when we talk about, you know, bike networks, everybody's really impacted throughout the community. It will come back to the city council. It's scheduled right now for August 4th council meeting when the feasibility report's accepted, and then authorization and plans and specs. I would say that will be the key point where the council will give us direction to the staff on what they decide on this one. And to the mayor's point, I'm not sure it, even on one project, it means it won't ever happen again, mm-hmm. but I think it will, at least in this particular project area, would be determined hopefully at that action date related to accepting the feasibility report would be the time to kind of finalize the scoping of the project.
Okay, cool. All right. Then we had a conversation about board and commission governance. How'd that go?
Maybe we should first go back to the other. There's one other street project that we talked about.
I'm sorry, what did I skip? Woodley
yeah.
and Spring Creek Road.
Yeah.
My bad. I'm sorry.
Yeah, a lot of discussion on that intersection, Spring Creek Road and Woodley Street. You want me to cover some of that, Mayor, or do you want to introduce that?
That's an interesting one, and it brings up a tension that I've found that I faced multiple times on the council is when the community around an intersection or around a street improvement, they know and they see and they live how that intersection or that section of street is being used.
Mm-hmm.
And what they understand the is needed there doesn't meet the state guidelines, the county guidelines, the city guidelines, whatever the guidelines are.
Mm-hmm.
And so the challenge here is that it currently doesn't meet the state guidelines, the county guidelines for what the majority of people have requested, which is a four-way stop.
Mm-hmm.
And on top of that, we're making a bunch of improvements to the Milltown Trail in the area, and we're going to change the usage of that intersection. Mm-hmm. So we've asked staff to go back and ask again, can we factor in the change that's going to happen in the future to your answer to us about what we can do at this intersection?
Right. Right.
So, and then I'll let Ben pick it up from
there. I'll get into some of the specifics. Mayor covered that great. The recommendations coming forward from the engineers, the county and our engineering was to, in that intersection, if you're familiar with it, there's kind of a curve.
Yep.
And then this is going to be the future Milltown's Tail Crossing. Do you got people coming into town? So reducing speeds is a goal. So improving the pavement, the base recommendations, I think, was improve the pavement markings. They're going to have dynamic speed feedback signs. So that's where it kind of tells you your current speeds from the people that are westbound coming into the city to try and get them to slow down as they come in. Improving the sight lines, we can do that to a certain degree. There's a little bit of vegetation that's in the city-owned right-of-way that we can clear off. The markings would be high visibility that you can see at night and during the day, so it's a higher grade reflectivity. And then crosswalk warning signs, and then where you would have advanced warning signs coming to that intersection, and then flashing rapid beacon flashing signs, pedestrian-activated ones would be the base ones. I think to the mayor's point, the current, engineering guidebook standards basically suggest that based on the vehicle and pedestrian and other people counts with biking or whatever, doesn't currently warrant either a four-way stop or a roundabout, but it suggests that either one of those could be appropriate in the future. And I think in particular, the council was thinking on maybe could we add the four-way stop now versus waiting for that. And so there was some discussion related to that. We'll have to work with the county on that. So the county board of commissioners probably are going to have to give some direct feedback to that option and work with our council on determining that option. Really wasn't a lot of discussion on the roundabout. That's obviously going to drive up some costs, but that would be probably the ideal situation, would be adding a roundabout in. But there is a lot higher cost to that and would probably have other impacts to the intersection with that one. But that one wasn't specifically discussed on at this time. It was an interesting discussion, too, if people are curious about, well, speeds coming in, can you change the speeds? There was a good question from the council about who determines those. Is that the city, the county?
Mm-hmm.
It's actually the state of Minnesota, which kind of left my brain that's how it works on the speed one, too, because I kind of forgot that's how it works, which is kind of strange. But I would say that not necessarily on this project, but with advanced warning things and with that, speeds, the design work that they do from an engineering standpoint can help impact driver behavior to slow down too. And so hopefully some of these features would do that and in the future, because if the state's kind of analysis that they use on speeds is basing it off of existing actual speeds is a lot of times how you do that. So if you can change the design and character of the environment to get people to slow down, then you can also reduce the speeds.
Sure. I've lived in that part of town for many, many years, and I know that intersection pretty well. Personally, I would really, as a private citizen, I would support some more control on that in that intersection. I don't think a four-way stop is... I think that should be a no-brainer in my mind with that intersection, but that's just me.
Those interactive speed signs are very helpful.
They are.
I feel like we've all had that moment where we're like, wow, I did not realize I was going 10 over.
Tell me again, what do we call those signs?
Oh, I went past my slide on
that. I'm sorry.
Yeah, well, I find it here. The I live kind of down on the northwest part of town in Lincoln Parkway, and you know, that certainly, I would say, it reminds me as I'm driving through. Mm-hmm. That one activates during the school hours. So some mm-hmm. people have asked, why does it turn off at night?
Yeah,
it's because on that one in particular, we want for people who live down there to right. not just get used to ignoring it, so it only right. turns on during the school day. So that's also to bring extra awareness to that. But that's a dynamic speed feedback sign.
Dynamic speed feedback.
You can remember that. Quite the title. Very robust.
There are a couple other parts of town I think we could stand to see some of that
absolutely.
Too.
Absolutely. And well, we will be getting the kind of seasonal ones. I asked mm-hmm. Our police chief about this earlier this week. Because, you know, coming in by the fire station, you yeah. know, it's people are coming yeah. coming in hot, you know, to Northfield. Mm. We want to get here, right? And but there's some seasonal ones. They'll roll out on the trailers.
Okay.
Get those.
Sure.
Not the permanent ones, yeah. but they move them around, keep you on your toes.
Mm-hmm. Sure.
That's a good idea, too.
All right. Anything else you folks would like to bring up from last night's meetings or just anything in general?
I see on your, this came up in the council reports last night, which has continued to be well received by shifting that up earlier so they can maybe share what's going on. But I see that you guys did post the update on the Memorial Day celebration yep. on Monday. And yep. so 9 a.m. at Veterans Memorial Park, there's that service. And so I think Councilor Beamer brought that up. And I think the mayor mentioned, too, that it's a really well done recognition and honoring of those for Memorial Day for those who have served. And so just wanted to call that one out.
Shout out to the VFW and the Legion. We are we do intend to broadcast that that ceremony on Monday. I haven't talked to anyone over at the VFW yet, but we need to do that so we can get that taken care of. All right. Thank you, Mayor Zweifel.
Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Martig. We always appreciate your time.
Sounds good.
All right. And we will talk to you guys again next week, or at least Mayor Zweifel.
Yes.
We'll see you next week. All right. And happy Memorial Day to you both. I hope you have a good weekend.
Thank you.
All right. That's